Here we go. Who the hell are you and why are you here?
I'm Paul Brody and I like bicycles.
Cool. Do you want to stand up? It might make it easier for the mic.
Okay,
so you're a legend. We all love you here. You do awesome stuff.
Thank you.
Okay. You're here this year with a much more modern bike than you've been working on, or from what it looks like. What do you think? Like, what are you trying to bring with this bike?
I wanted to build a shaft drive cruiser that had really clean lines, some curved tubes, and a classy look.
Okay. You've been building bikes for a long time.
It was my anniversary about 6 weeks ago.
Which anniversary?
Not for being married, but for making things out of metal. 50 years of making things out of metal.
50 years.
My first frame I built when I was 12.
That's amazing. And you do really high quality work.
Thank you.
I mean, you know, I look at some of the pictures that you put up and look at the work that you do. And I mean, my assumption is a lot of it is manual work.
Yeah, I don't have a CNC.
Okay, so you're doing your stuff manually most of the time. The finish is excellent. The diversity of the operations that you have to do. Like, you're hobbing your own gears, right? You got a nice manual hobbing setup or something? Did you make the shaft for this and the gears?
No, I didn't do that. No,
okay.
I got a donor bike.
Okay.
El Cheapo.
Like a Chinese modern bike?
I took apart the shaft, and the bearings were made in Russia.
Okay, but current, like, it was made sometime in the last 10, 15 years?
Probably, yes.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. But if it's Russian, it's probably a little bit different technologies.
Well, it's pretty standard shaft drive. It's got the four gears, and they all mesh. Yeah.
Okay. When you made this bike, what sort of tricky stuff? Like, I'm looking at this front brake mount that's very cool. I've been looking at something similar lately because I'm looking at doing like a clunk BMX clunker type bike and doing a BMX front wheel, but that type of dropout, you know, the plate dropout, and using a through axle and kind of triangulating it a little bit, sort of bringing through axle and plate BMX style together.
Okay. I used a through axle and a couple tubes with pinch lugs, so I didn't use a plate.
Right. No, that's definitely not a BMX fork. I'm just talking about the way you've triangulated out your mount.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like where you're taking advantage of the real estate that's created by putting this post in there. I mean the through axle, but then, you know, you're not using, it's not a flat plate mount. Like, it's not a plate dropout.
Yes,
you can do
yes.
more, or you have space to work.
Well, that was a day's work to mount the brake. I put a lot of thought into it, and it didn't take, I mean, often on a, if I'm mounting a brake, I can do it in an hour. But on this bike, I wanted it to be a little different and put some artiness, more artfulness into the bike. And
sure.
Everything just takes a lot longer on a show bike.
Sure. Oh, yeah, I can understand.
Yes.
When you were going to do that, say, like, that transverse piece there, are you drawing that up in CAD, or are you freestyling at the mill?
I made a sketch on a piece of paper, and then I just put it into the... I took a piece of metal, did a bit of hacksawing, put it in the mill, a quarter-inch end mill, got my shape.
Yeah. Is that how you do most of your work?
I don't often have a full-scale drawing. I make a sketch and start. Sometimes I just grab a piece of metal. And if I grab a piece of metal, I don't often know what the end result's going to look like. But it's kind of like being a
sculptor. Keep removing what isn't there.
A sculptor. And as I work on it, I see the shape start to come from the piece that I'm working on.
Okay. Do you feel that you're in control of the design of the bike, or is the bike in control of you when you're building it?
I feel like I'm in control, but I also feel like I get inspiration as well.
Uh-huh.
I use my intuition a lot.
Sure.
And I think that helps me with final shapes and solutions to problems.
Yeah. Okay.
because I'm just a self-taught engineer. I never went to engineering school.
You don't have to go to engineering school to be an engineer.
Apparently not.
Well, according to me. I mean, I've been around long enough to know what makes a real engineer or not, and I'm a lot younger than you.
Yeah.
So who do you think inspires you? Like, when you're building, like, almost like, who would you want to make proud? Or who are you trying to copy without anybody knowing?
That's a good question. I guess one of my heroes is the late John Britton. He made that fantastic race motorcycle down.
Everybody loves John. Yeah.
Well, some people don't know who he is, surprisingly. But
I got to see those bikes at Loudon.
Yeah.
And I saw them killing the VR1000s that were blowing smoke behind them. So I even know what a VR1000 looks like.
Yeah.
But the John Britton stuff is, I mean, for guys like us, it's like the holy grail, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's one of my heroes for sure. I get inspiration from other sources. You know, I look at different images. For example, when I did the bilaminate head tube lug, I went online and I found a bunch of images for lugs and I printed them all out and I found the three that I liked the most, and I made this design by taking one aspect from each of those three. So in a sense, I am borrowing. I don't feel like I'm copying, but I got inspiration from looking at those other lugs.
Well, sure. I mean, like with something like a bilam where it's been done lots of ways. It's like almost like, you know, you're never going to copy because, I mean, there's 30 examples of anything that you're looking at.
I don't want to copy, but I will say I get inspired by looking at other people's work.
Now, you've done a lot of historical type of work, mm-hmm. or, you know, your bikes are, you know, from your motorcycle and some of your bicycles that you've seen at the show, you know, you have to dig into the past. And
yeah.
When you do that, are there people, say, from the 30s or from the 50s that in your mind are due a huge amount of recognition in terms of how they really changed things that you never hear their names because, you know, the crowd that's into that shit, they like wool sweaters and you're into guys that like made cool shit and changed everything?
Well, when you talk about that, I think about the constructors in France in the 40s and the 50s, because they made some incredible bikes that were very, very lightweight, and they pioneered the use of aluminum, which at the time was a revolutionary material, and they don't often get a lot of recognition because they don't. A lot of people haven't heard of that era.
Are there some names you can think of offhand?
Well, the most well-known constructor was probably René Hurst.
Sure.
And if you find one of...
He's very trendy right now.
Yeah, if you find one of his frames now, you're going to pay thousands of dollars for a frame.
But is there something specific that he really developed that you see today still that was kind of like it could... You could point back and it starts with him.
It's been a while since I read the book. There's a book called The Golden Age of Cycling,
sure.
and that's where I learned about all this. I can't think of one particular example, but those guys back then were always pushing the limits.
Uh-huh.
Lighter tubing. I mean, the tubing they used...
A lot of their stuff was seamed plumbing tubing, essentially, and then they moved forward into better stuff.
I think they might have used Reynolds tubing. I think if I'm right, they use Reynolds tubing. And nowadays, you got your 0.9, 969, 858. They use 1.0, 0.3, 1.0 with really short butts. That's partly how they get. So you could have squeezed the tube with your forefinger and thumb.
Wow.
So I can't think of one thing in particular, but it was just that
they
whole...
Pushed.
Yeah, they pushed the limits on every component, making it lighter.
Okay. So let's switch subjects here. You've been doing the Frame Building 101 at the University of Fraser Valley. That's up in Vancouver area?
Yes, it is.
So How long has it been that you've been formally at the university?
This is the second call.
One sec.
Track category. Please bring your track entry to the judges' booth between the aisle, over in the middle of the aisle is 700. Thank you.
I've been doing it for 6.5 years. Next course is number 50.
Okay, that's a lot of frame building courses. I've seen some of your students talking about your course, and they love it. Is it within the university? Are you dealing with design students and engineering students within the university, or is it like outside of the university? It's a like extended learning type course.
Yeah, it's a continuing studies program, or part of that program. And students come from all over the place, Australia, Greece, Germany, Colombia, Mexico. So it really, in that sense, is an international program.
What are some of the lessons you've learned separately from like what you learn when you build and you design and everything yourself, but working with students, what lessons specifically do you learn that just make you go, wow, I can't believe I'm learning this? And here you are 6 years later, it's like you probably got a few of those.
Yes, students often come with a concept of what they want to make, and when they choose the tubing or the dropouts, they often use them in ways that I wouldn't have. One, I'll just give you a couple examples. One student wanted to use a really large OD down tube and a skinny, skinny top tube, and I said, really?
I like it.
And I wasn't sure about it, but then everyone agreed that, yep, that frame looks really good. And then another student wanted to, on the ISO mount for the rear brake, he wanted to make like a little mountaintop shape to it with the peaks of mountains. And I said, really? And he went ahead and did it, and it looked great. So students often want to do things that I would never consider. And there was another student that wanted to do S-bend chainstays. We all know what S-bend chainstays are, but he flipped them around and did them backwards, so it kind of looked like a woman's shape.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I would never have done that, but we all agreed that that was pretty cool.
Right.
So often what the student wants to do really opens my eyes a little bit about the possibilities of what you can.
Sort of like the vampire concept of being a teacher, where you know, you get to have beginner mind without doing all the hard work.
I think that's probably true, yeah. So
I work at a university, too, so it's nice to hear, like, the fresh view. And I go, like, oh, isn't it nice not to be so jaded and over it, you know?
Yeah, I don't think I'm jaded at this point. Because I really love teaching, and so for me it's a really good fit.
Good, yeah, it seems like you enjoy yourself. Where do you see what you're doing with bikes going, say, in the next few years? Like, you know, like a lot of it's historical, a lot of it harks back to certain types of things. Like this bike is very beautiful. It's got some very modern elements and some very maybe antique elements to it. Where are you kind of going with kind of like, can you see too far in the future of what you're about?
No, I can't. I haven't really thought about where I'm going next. I just love fabricating. Uh-huh. I've never lost my passion. And this bike, for example, I got the shaft drive donor bike a couple years ago, and it sat. And then we knew we were coming down to NABS, Mike and I, university's sponsoring us, So we talked about what I was going to do, and I thought maybe, because I didn't really want to build a whole new bike, because often what that amounts to is my own form of financial recklessness, where I work on a project for weeks on end and never get paid. So I suggested to Mike that I would redo the electric bike I built, which caught on fire and burnt, EB. And Mike said, well, what about that shaft drive thing you got? And I said, okay. So it was Mike's idea.
Okay.
I wasn't going to build the shaft drive, but Mike...
it spared you a lot of personal expense.
Well, it was... I just... Last fall, I worked on my house for 4 months every day. I did a reno.
Sure.
I hadn't been in my shop for 4 months, so I got back in my shop and I felt like I was really motivated. This is what I was working on, and I felt like I got inspired.
It looks great. It's got so much flow in the joints. You know, it just melts around.
I'm really happy with how it turned out, and I think the paint scheme works really well.
Did you do anything with the shaft drive to sort of improve it? Did you shim it up in ways, or did you sort of build up on loose gears or anything?
No, the shaft drive was, it hadn't been used a whole lot. I had to make one shim because on the bottom bracket, I guess I didn't get the measurements quite right, and the shaft was, and the gears were
clacking around,
hitting. Yeah. But no, I didn't improve the shaft drive. I had to make a new rear hub because it had a Sachs 5-speed that didn't work.
Oh, that's right. This is the hub. I remember you posted this.
It didn't have a disc brake mount, and I really wanted dual disc brakes.
So the hub, you did both halves so that you could mount in the 5-speed system.
No. There's no 5. It's a single speed. I mounted a freewheel inside the hub. I got photos I can show you. And then there's a connector between the gear, the helical gear, and the freewheel. It's like a carrier.
I'm not used to looking at shaft drives, but yeah, you need a place for your freewheel.
Yeah, because it didn't have a freewheel.
Sure.
Because the freewheel was integral in the Sachs hub, and if you didn't use the hub body, you no longer had a freewheel, and I didn't want a fixie.
Right.
So
you made the whole hub, both halves and everything like that to get it all in there and the freewheel mechanism?
Yeah, I started on the hub Monday morning at 7 a.m. I finished it at 2:15 and then hopped in my van and went to the anodizer because that's how it is with show bikes. Everything comes down to crunch time, right?
Yeah, well, it's gorgeous. It looks like an OEM part. It's very finished and, you know, that you had to do real engineering to get around something.
Yeah, because for months I didn't know how I was going to do the back wheel, and I had 2 weeks left before NABS, and the whole bike was finished except for paint and no rear wheel.
Wow. Yeah.
So.
And do you have? Are you going to put up some nice internal shots so we can see what you kind of did on the inside? I think.
Yeah, it comes. Actually, there's a story on Cycle XCeef. It comes out this weekend.
Oh, good.
And they're going to show the whole build of the bike from how the head tube lugs got made to the rear.
Oh,
rear,
that'll be
rear
great.
Hub and all that. So.
Okay, here's a good question. Do you farm out any work, or if you do, what kind? Like laser cutting, bending. Like, is there anything you kind of tend to go out to? You just said you go out to get anodizing done.
Yeah.
But is there other work that you send out?
Yeah, I got the bars bent by a local bender, Specific Bending.
Uh-huh.
They do the bending, and I use other people when I can't do it. If I need something ground, I go to see my friend that's a grinder.
Okay.
But I try and do as much as I can. I did the painting.
You did the paint?
And
wow.
And this paint is Imron, The raspberry color is Imron. It's had been sitting on my shelf for 24 years.
You know, it's funny. That's one of my favorite colors.
Amazing shelf life.
Yeah, it's cool. You know, when I first saw that color, it was on an old Mossy, that color. And it inspired me to choose that color for a number of my bikes. I used the powder version, but similar sort of burgundy, brooding red type of color. And it's so nice to see. Does the top cap yours?
No, that says Tempest, and one of my students, he took the course 3 different times, and now he's down in Australia and he's starting up his own brand of Tempest. He's starting to make frames now.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so
how many of your students have gone on to start their own things of making things sort of like you'd like to see them do?
Maybe a dozen, 15 maybe.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I think it's really neat when you see. Actually, at the new builder table, NABS last year, was a female student, and she had built at that time like 18 frames or something like that, and she's the first of my students who's been at the new builder table.
Cool. Excellent. Well, thank you very much. I'm glad to see your new bike. I'm glad to see your stuff every year.
Thank you, Peter.
All right.